Where's all my soul, sisters? Let me hear your flow, sisters.
Wait a minute. That is the longest weather thing I've... What are they going to tell me? Make sure to have a coat on? When somebody do some research on the length of what... When you used to have a weather advisory, like... They would say what it was in the time. And now, what is all this extra junk? We got a show we're trying to do. We need to know where it is. We need to know when it is and how long it is.
We got the doctor of pitcher waiting in the line.
Yeah, he has to wait in line to find out if we're supposed to wear a coat or whatever. Did that seem long to you, or is it just me getting old?
It's a tad long, yes.
Yeah, all right.
Tad too much description.
Yes, and did it seem more than you ever used to get?
Yes.
Yeah, we're not like the newscast where they need extra time for weather because they don't have enough money to pay people to go follow the news. I'm not complaining. It's used to be good. Joining us now is the doctor of pitching, Jerry Augustine. Doc, good afternoon.
Great to be with you guys. Great to be with you.
All right, so when they signed John B. Axford at 38, you're the first person I thought of. Hey, did they talk to the doc? Did they call you?
No, they didn't.
All right, how old are you? How old are you?
68.
All right, 68. At what age did you believe, at the oldest age at which you believed that you could still pitch in the majors? How old were you?
Wow. You know, that's tough, and that's a great question.
I know.
Because I did so many, I used to throw so much with fantasy camps and batting practice and things like that. I think the velocity went down. To actually get somebody out with the velocity that some guys have and being able to execute your pitches, I would say probably mid-40s, maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You feel that you can still go out and compete.
Yeah, you wouldn't know how long you could do it, but mid-40s, a little bit longer. All right.
So yes, I agree.
Now it would seem like it might be tougher because they throw so hard that at some point you have to lose the velocity.
You are going to lose it, but then it's, you know, there's other ways. You don't always see the guy who throws so hard. Maybe the guy that comes out of bullpen maybe drops down and gives him different arm angles and things like that. So you always got those things. You got to be creative. And any way you can get somebody out, any way you can get an out, that's all that matters.
All right. Well, then I was wrong. David Stearns, I'm his biggest fan. No, it was not necessary to call Jerry Augustine before he got John B. Axford. The Brewers with COVID, and they got guys replacing people who I didn't even know. What's the drop off when you watch some of these young pitchers? Can you tell they're not ready, or is that not possible?
Well, I don't know if it's possible, Homer. It's getting an opportunity, and I think the one thing you have to look at the Brewer organization is their approach in pitching nowadays has changed the way it's been. You know, 7 and 8 and 9 years ago, now they have the science lab and they have an opportunity for kids to go in the science lab and understand more about how they pitch and what they do and what their pitches do. And they see success on the major league level that, you know, we saw Sanchez yesterday come in and throw a good fastball, good slider, but really uses changeup effectively, something he picked up this year and was very good. So it's just a matter of being able to go out and execute. And, you know, the big thing when you talk about the Brewers, what are your abilities have to be? You have to learn how to pitch ahead, and you have to win 1-1 counts. You can't go 2-1. You can't go 2-0. 3-1s are bad counts. So pitching ahead and winning that 1-1 count in a bat is very important.
Talking with the doctor pitching, I have absolutely no confidence in most of these guys when they come in. Am I being too mean? I mean, like Boxberger, I got confidence. Suter, I got confidence in, though I don't know that you want him closing games. Williams, I got confidence in. Sanchez, Curtis, Norris, Hardy, Romano, Zippo. Am I being too mean?
I think you're in a position now where you haven't seen them and you don't know what their abilities are. I think a guy like Sanchez is getting better each and every time he goes out there. He's showing that now. He not only has command of a 94, 95 mile an hour fastball, he's got a good slider. Now that great changeup, which he's been able to come. So I think you got to understand how Craig uses these guys to be successful and get outs is only going to create an opportunity when they'll be in a high leverage game. And I think that's the way all managers manage. They manage these players to get in high leverage games. But how do they get there? They're tested in many different ways. And I think Craig does an outstanding job of testing these guys and getting them in position where they can go out and be successful get that confidence they need to do. But you still have to go out and execute, Homer. You have to go throw strikes. You can't walk guys late in ball games, and you've got to go out, pitch ahead, and win 1-1 counts.
How long does it take you to watch these guys to say, not how good or bad they might be or have been, but watching them now, how long does it take you to say, man, that guy's, he's struggling?
No, I kind of watch guys, and you know, I look at the what they throw. There's no doubt. You look at how they throw, what they throw, how they locate the ball, how they react on the mound. I watch your reactions a lot. A guy on the mound who feels confident, you can just see he's starting to get that little air of confidence, and where, you know, he walks off the mound and he's kind of saying, yeah, I got it, I get it, I'm starting to understand it. And you watch that. You got to watch their mannerisms and how they perform on the mound, that mental side of the game, as well as that offensive side of the game where they take the ball and they execute their pitches. I think that's so important. When you combine them together and you see that good positivity, I think you get guys that can come and help you, especially on this Brewer level. Now, we got to go all the way back to spring training when Chris Hook said, we're going to use every pitcher that we have in camp and probably guys we don't even know. And that's really been true. It's been true about the game of baseball this year.
I don't know that I've given enough respect to Peralta, given all the discussion about Burns and Woodruff. Peralta, in 114 innings, has given up 53 hits. That's not possible.
He has got electric stuff. When you talk about every one of these guys, and, you know, Homer, we've talked before about what do they bring to the table. I always call Woody, I call him the warrior, because the guy, he's got great stuff, and he goes right after you. And then I call Burnsy the doctor, or the physician, the guy who really plays the corners and has really good, tight stuff. But Peralta more of an amusement park, because, you know, he's got great stuff. Just he wants you to come to the ballpark and watch him pitch, because he's got the stuff. His fastball is electric. He throws it with three different types of movement. Now he's got command of that changeup, a good slider. He's learned how to create a slider that's a small slider and a big slider. So, and he commands the strike zone. His number one thing, if you listen to him, 80% of the time, Freddie Peralta will have two strikes in his first three pitches. That's breeding success, being able to command all your pitches, and 80% of the time being able to go counts that you're positive.
80% of the time is what, one? If it goes, he's 1-2.
80% of the time in the first three pitches that he throws two strikes. Wow. 80% of the time. I saw that stat the other day, and I almost fell off my chair. I said, there ain't no way that he does that. But I saw the stat the one day. I looked the other day. It came back, and it was right at 78%, 79%. So when you get to that percentage of throwing strikes, being able to command the strike zone to both sides of the plate, up and down, use your slider, you can't get any better than that.
Talking with the doctor of pitching, no, David Stearns did not contact him when he looked into John B. Axford, because the doctor of pitching is like 30 years older. I just wanted to say, I think whatever you think of Woodruff and Burns and the high, Peralta's their equal. He's their equal. I mean, in some ways, he might even be better over the course, his numbers over the season. But whatever they are and however great they've been discussed, Peralta deserves to be in the same neighborhood with just as big a house. Agree or not?
Without a doubt, I totally agree. I think they, when you look at the National League ERAs, they got three guys, and those three guys are in the top five. They all bring something a little bit different to the table. I like what they bring to the table. I like their the way they go about and execute their sequences of pitches, the way they go about and being aggressive. You know, Freddie's is as aggressive as Woody. Corbin Burns is as aggressive as the other two. They just go about it a little bit different way. They have great stuff. They can throw it over the plate, and that's a great success. And they're giving you three different looks at three very, very, very good pitchers.
I mean, and Peralta does walk more than Burns, but again, 114 innings, 53 hits.
It's amazing.
No, yeah, it is. That's like elite Pedro Marte. I mean, just the elite pitchers of any era that you give up a hit. Let's like it's almost it's less than half a hit an inning.
It is. It's phenomenal what he's done. And one thing, going back, Homer, on the John Axford thing, them picking up John Axford, I thought was really creative. I thought it was a great way to go. and you didn't pick him up because his name was John Axford, and he had success in Milwaukee at one time. You picked up John Axford because he was built out of a mold a little bit like Corey Knebel, who has a good overhand fastball that he throws up in his zone. He's got a great breaking ball and a good two-seamer now that he throws down that he can get ground balls. A kind of a different look out of that bullpen. That's why you go out and get a guy like John Axford. Even though he's been successful in Milwaukee, he still brings a little bit different out of that bullpen that can help you be successful. I thought that was a great pickup by David Stearns and Matt Arnold. I thought it was excellent.
I don't know if you saw this, but Sandy Koufax was asked for some reason about Willie Mays, and he just said he was the best hitter I ever faced. He always knew it was like Sandy Koufax saying, this guy's even too good for me. Who was the hitter that you face that you just thought, you know, like if you were running in the 100 meters, you go, I can finish second.
I agree, and I don't want to make you laugh, but I'll bring out a guy by the name of Jerry Remy. Jerry Remy from the Boston Red Sox, California,
yeah.
Little second baseman. I'll tell you a little story quickly. We were in Boston, and we're facing him, and first time up, I throw a Jerry Remy, a jam shot on the two-seamer inside running in on him. He jams it, hits it over to first baseman's head for a double. Get back, I talk to Charlie. Boy, he hit a pretty good pitch. Charlie said, yeah, we'll get him next time. Next time, I throw him a good slider away off the end of the bat over to third baseman's head. And I said, you know, Charlie, after that, I bet you this guy's like 100 off for 100 off of me. I can't get the guy out. He says, I got something we'll get him at. Next time up, I don't know, he put one down. I threw it right down the middle of the line shot right at the second baseman. Charlie laughed at me when I got back in the dugout. He says, I just told him what was coming. So you get guys like that just hit you, and they just, no matter what you throw, they see the ball well off you. Off of me, a guy like Jerry Remy was very tough to face.
So I know it's true with Rodgers. This is the last question with a quarterback where your memory is so important, and I think Koufax may. But to me, there's nothing as helpful to a baseball player who can remember the at-bats or the pitches against a certain pitcher, and I'm sure some are just better at it than others. That's a memory thing. That's able to, because that's got to be a plus you hope for, but if a guy can remember what you did and stuff, that just makes him, to me, that's one of the elite skills for a quarterback, and I would say any hitter in Major League Baseball.
I totally agree with you, Homer. I think it's understanding how you pitch guys and what they've done off you in the past. That's sometimes why pitchers keep books in that. I remember a conversation I had with Tom Seaver, and Tom Seaver talked about guys that he faced. He told me one time that there's one guy that really hit the ball pretty well off of him, and then about the 3 years prior to that, he remembered using a fastball and a changeup on the outside corner, get ahead and then throw him a breaking ball inside part of the plate. That's how he got him out. And he was facing a guy about 2 weeks down the road. He used it, and he got the guy out. He said, everybody's different. You get guys that face you. They're different. We always knew that a Reggie Jackson coming in hot into Milwaukee, if he was swinging the bat hot, he could hit the ball. You had to pitch him in to get him out. If he was not swinging the bat well, you pitched him away to get him out. There's different things that guys have that when they're swinging the bat well, they're not swinging the bat well, that you have to make adjustments to. But as a pitcher, you have to understand, you have to stay with your best stuff. You have to execute. You have to pitch ahead. And just like the Brewers are now, you have to win 1-1 counts.
And I remember, you want to of the first three pitches, two are strikes 80% of the time for Freddy Peralta. Actually, you said other things, Jerry, but that one's so good, I'm not going to remember any of the rest of it. So.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it tonight. I think it's a phenomenal number. It's I couldn't believe this, and I said, nah, that's not true. So I kind of walked away from it, and then all of a sudden I went on an area, and it came back, and it was like, it's not this start, the start before last is last start. It went in there, and I saw it again. I said, you got to be kidding me.
Well, that means he's throwing incredible stuff because they know he does it, and they still can't hit it. They know.
Yeah, right? He's got great stuff, and he throws the ball a little bit different angle. He throws across his body a little bit.
But, I mean, it's coming across the plate. Two of the first three pitches are coming across the plate, and they still can't hit him.
That's right. And his fastball is electric. No matter what we talk about, Homer, from now on, he will always be Fastball Freddy because his fastball really sets up everything he does.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. I look forward to when you call us and say David Stern did call you. But I'm thinking it'll be maybe to do batting practice. But it's over.
All right. Thanks a lot,
Thanks, Doc. Dr. Pitcher and Jerry Augustine. Jason Wilde next.